You may remember hearing about Albert Einstein. When he was riding on a train, he was known by everyone in the car in which he regularly rode. But the conductor was coming through, as his custom was, and making sure everybody had their ticket. And he noticed that Albert Einstein started fumbling for his ticket. And the conductor came to him, and Einstein admitted that he had lost his ticket and couldn't remember his stop that day. The conductor replied, "Well, that's okay. That's no problem, Mr. Einstein. We know who you are." Einstein responded, "I know who I am too, but I don't know where I'm going." Many people in life don't know where they're going. Jeremiah 10:23. The prophet says, "The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." I was reading recently another blog entry, an article by Tim Elmore. An article entitled, "Four Lost Qualities We Must Build in Students Today." And he talked about how these students, in preparing them for their lives as they leave home, that there are four qualities that he suggests that are missing, that are all but forgotten, that we as parents and grandparents need to instill in our children and grandchildren. As I read this article, though, I felt like all four of these characteristics are needed by all of us. So that's the way I want to approach it tonight. Four essentials to navigating our lives through this world. And the first one is this, is vision. Vision. Vision is the ability to see a goal in the future before it is reached. We need to have that vision, that goal that we're seeking in our lives. People without goals are like little Alice in the fairy tale Alice in Wonderland. Some of you will remember this. In a conversation between Alice and the Cheshire Cat, Alice asks, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the Cheshire Cat responded, "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to." Alice responded, "Well, I don't much care where." And the Cheshire Cat responded, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." And I'm afraid that may describe, well, it does describe those that don't know what direction they're going. We need vision to see where we want to go and how to get there. One writer said, "Vision is a blueprint for the future that prevents us from merely existing. To keep us from maintaining instead of growing and improving." And I want to highlight two things that I think should be included in our vision. Number one is our ultimate goal, and that is heaven. And how we should keep our eyes on heaven. And when heaven is our goal, when that is our focus, it'll help guide us even in our everyday decisions. I love the song that we sing, "I am going to a city where the roses never fade." And I think about that, and as I sing that song, it kind of has the cadence of a march. "I am going to a city where the roses never fade," as if people are traveling to this destination. And I think we should keep that in our minds every day, if that is our ultimate goal, that I want to go to heaven one day. And when that is our goal, then when we're faced with temptation or when we're faced with some decision, we think about the ramifications of it and how it may impact us on our journey to reach our ultimate destination of heaven. Isn't that what characterized the people of faith? As the Hebrew writer suggests in Faith's Hall of Fame, Hebrews 11, listen to this passage, verse 13, beginning. "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they've been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. I think about Abram, how he could have, he was thinking of his home country, could have gone back to the area of Mesopotamia. But that's not what their focus was. Instead, the Hebrew writer continues, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Never forget, keep in your vision that heaven is our goal. But there's something else that we would want our young people to understand, but all of us. As part of that vision is that we need a vision in recognizing that each of us has a place in the body of Christ, a place to serve. A vision to serve. I want my children thinking about how they can develop their talents and how they can use them in service to God. Don't you? And all of us need to have that vision. We've been saved to serve. We are His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what God wants to characterize our lives, good works. So we need to have a vision of realizing that's our purpose, to serve the Lord by serving others. So we need to explore opportunities to see where we can plug in and use our talents to the glory of God and in service to others. It may be as easy as I called on someone this past week to see if they could take Miss Donna to the doctor. Angela Tapley has told me she would love to know of ways that she can help. So I called and she was able to. And it may be as simple as that, helping someone get to the doctor or providing a meal for someone or just going to see about someone. We'll never know what it means, like for our shut-ins, for example. Some of you I've heard recently say that you had called and talked to one of our shut-ins and didn't get off the phone for an hour. That's because they're wanting to talk. And just a listening ear can be so invaluable. So watch for opportunities. And no opportunity is too small. Listen to 1 Peter 4. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If anyone serves, do it with the strength God provides, that God may be praised through Jesus. Use your talents. Have a vision, recognizing that you have a place in God's kingdom, a place of service. Seek that out. Explore opportunities and seize those opportunities. Number two, in addition to vision, we need virtues. Virtues to navigate our way through life. Webster says virtue is morally good behavior or character or a good and moral quality. I like what Tim Elmore wrote. Virtues are character qualities that separate humans from animals. When animals fight, they don't fight about who's right or wrong, but who's strong or weak. Remove virtues and people begin acting like animals. So have virtues. Here's a list of many that we could give from Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5. Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," we'll come back to that word in a moment, "but add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see, if we keep adding these things to our lives, giving all diligence to add these things to our lives, it's going to separate us from the animals, isn't it? If we did better and better about practicing these virtues, we would have the type of life that God wants us to have. You'll notice that word virtue is used in this listing. I believe some versions translated it goodness. It has an interesting background. Our English word virtue, by the way, comes from a root word meaning man, but it describes only a certain kind of man, a man of strength and courage and good character. It included moral strength. And I believe that's included in this term in the Greek language as well, this moral strength. It basically means the courage and the determination to do what's right. A virtuous person has the fortitude to stand for Christ no matter what the odds, to speak out for Him no matter what the cost, even to die for Him if necessary. This morning in Bible class, the book of Acts, we were studying from Acts chapter 4, where the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, threatens Peter and John, do not speak any more in the name of Jesus Christ. What is meant by that is, don't let the name of Jesus pass through your lips anymore or else. What do Peter and John do? But they go back and report to their brethren the things that have happened, and then they pray. But they don't pray that the mouths of their enemies be stopped or destroyed. They pray for boldness to continue to proclaim Jesus. That's virtue. That's this strength that's inherent in this word. Demonstrations of moral strength would include these. A person of virtue is honorable. They don't act merely out of self-interest as a reptile does when he seeks food to eat, but in the interest of others. A people of virtue act with civility in the face of adversity. They can be poised because they act instead of react to situations. But as we navigate our way through life, we need vision. We need that goal that we're keeping in the forefront of our minds. But we also need virtues that regulate the way that we interact with others, how we carry ourselves, how we respond to circumstances. Closely related is a third one, and that is values. We need values. Values today are either lost altogether in many people, or they're the products of individual taste or personal convenience. Studies show that many college students today say anything can be right, and values come and go. But we need a set of timeless values that govern our conduct. Timeless values, values that don't change from generation to generation or from culture to culture, but values that remain constant. Values are like a compass that reveals our true north. They're the guardrails to keep us on the right road, and they're the horsepower behind every decision that we make. We need values or convictions. Conviction is a strong persuasion or belief. We need those convictions, those values. A conviction is something that you will stand upon even if you stand alone. I read about an early bishop of Alexandria, as he's described, Athanasius. He stoutly opposed the teachings of Arius, who declared that Christ was not the eternal Son of God, but a subordinate being. Athanasius, because of his opposition to Arius, was hounded through five exiles. And he was finally summoned before the emperor, Emperor Theodosius, who demanded that he cease his opposition to Arius. The emperor reproved him, saying, "Do you not realize that all the world is against you?" To which Athanasius quickly answered, "Then I am against all the world." Now that's standing on conviction. We need to have deeply held convictions and values that are timeless because they're based upon the Word of God. Isn't that why God gave us the Word? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Years ago, I read this breakdown of this passage. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what's right, doctrine. It's profitable for what's wrong, for reproof. It's profitable for getting right, for correction. And it's profitable for staying right, for instruction in righteousness. Folks, our values, our convictions, I know you will agree, must be based on the Word of God. Those are the timeless values and convictions that'll navigate us properly through life. After all, the psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So vision, virtues, values, and one more, and that's valor. Valor. That seems to be an old word, valor. It's rarely spoken about today, at least in many circles. In the past, perhaps we've spoken of soldiers or even of knights who acted with valor. It literally means strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness and personal bravery. And the times that are in which valor is needed are not over by any means. If that definition didn't resonate with you, perhaps John Wayne's will. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. We need valor. Valor. We need to regain this quality that empowers us to have clarity about what must be done and the courage or the valor to act upon it. In what ways, what aspects of our lives do we need valor or courage? I want to suggest three, for example. Number one, we need the valor, the courage to do what's right. Regardless of what everyone else is doing, sounds like something a mother would say. If your friend's jumping off a bridge, would you jump off as well? Regardless of what everyone else is doing, we need the courage to do what's right. Secondly, this one may surprise you. We need the courage to care. You realize it takes courage to care? Arthur Gordon wrote an article entitled "The Rewards of Caring." And he told about an incident that happened to him as a small boy. He and his family were at the beach. And he was witness as this young boy to a near tragedy because a woman stepped off a sandbar and into deep, swift water, a current apparently, and panicked. And so there was a lot of commotion when people saw this happen, and he remembers seeing it even as a little boy. And at least 20 adults, he recalls, in swimsuits watched, apparently paralyzed, until suddenly a young man ran up, plunged into the water fully clothed, and brought the woman out safely. As Arthur Gordon described that episode later to his parents, his admiration for the young man was matched by the contempt he felt for those who failed to act. He couldn't understand. There were so many people that could have responded to this woman in her time of need. Why didn't they respond? And his father looked at him thoughtfully and said these words: "The world often seems divided between those who care and those who don't care enough. But don't judge too harshly. It takes courage to care greatly." It takes courage to care greatly. It takes courage to overcome your own feelings of inadequacy or being uncomfortable, to enter into someone's world in which they're struggling, and we may not know exactly what to say, what to do, but we want to demonstrate our care for them, and we know that just by our presence we're doing that. But it takes courage to overcome those feelings and enter into that person's world and try to help them carry that burden. We need valor. We need courage to care. And the third one, we need courage to endure to the end. We need courage to endure to the end. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," Paul would say, "be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58, "knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Don't stop. Keep going. Be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, "be faithful even to the point of death" is really the meaning, but the same principle applies. Be faithful for the rest of your life. And sometimes life gets difficult, and so we need that courage to continue to stay faithful and to endure whatever it is that has come into our lives. I've seen many in this congregation that have manifested a lot of courage in dealing with things in their lives. Like people who hear the diagnosis, cancer, yet they persevere. They keep on. They fight. They pray. And they work through. They don't lose their faith, but they keep trusting God. Seeing folks exhibit valor in physical challenges, in family struggles, in loss of jobs, loss of family members. It takes courage, it takes valor to endure to the end. These were probably reminders to you, but may we be reminded. 4 things to help us navigate through life. Vision. Keep in mind where you're headed. We're headed toward that city where the roses never fade. But we also need a vision of how we can serve throughout our lives. Those virtues that regulate how we respond to circumstances and to people. The virtues by which we live. The values which we possess that are based on the Word of God. And the courage or the valor to live true to them. Hope this is helpful as we navigate through life. Perhaps tonight there's one or more that needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hope and pray that if you've reached that point in your study, where you're ready to do that, that you'll do that even tonight. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need prayers for encouragement if you're going through a struggle, or if you need to ask for the prayers for forgiveness or for help as you live the Christian life, we want to extend that opportunity as well. The invitation of Christ. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?